In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And darkness stands for lies, darkness stands for sin, darkness stands for separation from Christ. And then in today's Gospel, he turns to the apostles who have been with him for several years and said, you are the salt of the world, you are the light of the world, because you're with me. So they're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. And we see this theme in the readings for today in Isaiah. It talks about, when you do good, your light shall break forth. Psalm 112, the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. Now, I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. Something I was fascinated when I heard this about 3-4 years ago. The story is told by Father Benedict Groeschel. Father Benedict Groeschel is the founder of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. If you were here in August, beginning of September, remember we had the 7 Franciscans here, really big tall guys with big beards and everything. Well, that's the order that was founded by Father Benedict Groeschel. And he tells a story how about 1970, he goes out to California and he's giving a retreat to the Franciscan Friars that are out there, okay? The story is about a Father Isidore Kennedy, someone who had the light of Christ. So Father Groeschel, I'm going to refer to this book, it's called A Traveler's Along the Way, Souls Who Are Lights in Father Groeschel's Life, Ones Who Reflected Christ's Light. So he arrives out there at the friary in California. One of the brothers, who was a classmate of him, was excited and says, oh, we have a saint here. Father Groeschel, a little sarcastic, oh, you do. And so what happens, he said when he came in, he meets his Father Isidore. He said, Father Isidore looked the part. He was tall, thin, and elderly with a white beard, the Franciscan habit. And he was pleased to see that they had arranged the seating. And Father Groeschel got to sit next to this Father Isidore. Okay? Now Father Isidore wasn't there the first day. So Father Groeschel says, oh, Father Isidore, we missed you yesterday. He goes, oh, yes. And I can't do this, but his Father Isidore is from Dublin, Ireland, okay? Born there in 1896 in an Irish brogue. He said, yes. He said, I just got back from the hospital. And he said, I was only there for 6 weeks, and it was lovely. Because hospitals improved so much over the years. So Father Groeschel, thinking, boy, he's only there 6 weeks. So the natural question for that as well, how many times have you been in the hospital? And Father Isidore cheerfully responds, 66 times since I was 17 years old. Now he's in his 70s already, but he's still going to live until his late 70s, so he probably went many more times. So, since the age of 17. So somewhat astonished, Father Groeschel says, well, what was your longest stay in the hospital? Oh, 4.5 years in Arizona. Oh, it was lovely. Every evening, they used to push us off the flat roof. I watched the stars every night. It was quite lovely. It never rains there, you know. It was grand. Every time he's speaking, he says, it was grand. It was lovely. Not like, oh, man, 4 years of my life in the hospital. I'm a priest. Nothing like that. It's just always a gentle smile. He goes, terrific smile. Smiling and grand. Anyway, so what happens? Father Groeschel says, he talks to this Father Isidore a little longer. Father Groeschel is out there for a week. And Father Isidore said at the age of 17, they had sent him to the United States. It was tuberculosis, saying, you go out west, it's drier there, it'll be better than the air in Dublin, maybe that'll help you. They didn't figure that he'd live that long. But he outlived all the people that had sent him here to America. And he said, Father Groeschel said, when he talked to Father Isidore, he was a man who had a very different way of looking at the world. He was really looking at the world through the eyes of Christ, how God judges, not how man judges. So anyway, it goes on. He said, I learned, talked about this, that much of his life had consisted of a series of lonely assignments in remote mission parishes in the far west. So his mission, his parish, Father Israel would have, like a small, like little home, really, have a couple rooms. One would be like a little chapel, it would be big enough for the congregation, could be up to maybe 12 people on Sunday. Have like a little kitchen, this little room, and that was about it. And he said, when a superior, you know, the superior of the order, as the bishop does in the diocese, periodically comes around and checks on the Franciscans to see how they're doing. So what would happen, the superiors, is that every time he went out to see Father Isidore, He never knew what to expect. So he'd go out there, and all these homeless people were living there in the house, and he had like a little wooden bench outside, and he would sleep on that. Obviously, he would clear out the chapel then when Mass was being offered. But Father Isidore had the unique ability that no matter wherever he went, all the money that that little parish had, he would spend it almost immediately. You know, food for the poor and everything. And so after these years go by, they were feeling sort of guilty. They said, well, give Father Isidore a normal-sized parish, you know. And we'll send him out there, see what happens. It took exactly 6 months where the parish was totally broke in debt, and they had to move him, okay? Now, when Father Isidore gets into his, I guess, later 60s, Father was moved from his lonely existence back to the novitiate. So the novitiate's like we would have the new young man who just heard this call to the priesthood, religious life, Franciscans. So he would go back to be a venerable figure where if they needed to go to confession or talk, he would be there. So they send him to the novitiate where he would spend the rest of his life. That is, if he wasn't in a hospital for that week or that month. And they said there was a lot to observe. This is what would happen with Father Isidore. Father Isidore Kennedy, if you want to look this up on Google, on the internet. The monk said he would go into chapel at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And he would sit there in our Lord's Eucharistic presence, the light of the world, until 5 o'clock. And what would happen if there was some construction going on or some other kind of noise or something later that night at the dinner, the brothers said, oh, Father Isidore, sorry about that noise. We had to do this, we had to do that. And he was totally oblivious to any of that sound. Father Groeschel said when he was out there for the week, he would be in chapel. And he said, we look at Father Isidore, perfectly still, not moving. And he was like, wait, is he breathing? It didn't look like he was breathing at all. So as the week, I'm skipping some parts here, but as the week came to end, Father Groeschel, who's a spiritual master, his spiritual director throughout the world, he's on EW10 every Sunday night, Sunday Night Live, written many books. He has a doctorate in psychology, and he's got all this, he's very holy priest. But anyway, so before the end of the week, he says, Father Groeschel talking to Father Isidore, I'm very interested in the way people lead their spiritual lives. I was wondering if you might share with me something of yours, perhaps a few insights. Could you please tell me your secret? There's a funny dialogue that goes back and forth. I had the accent where Father Isidore goes, a secret? Father Isidore goes, and Father Groeschel says, yeah, a secret. Father Isidore says, well, if I told you, it wouldn't be a secret now, would it anymore? And so they go back and forth. So this is what Father Isidore says. Well, he said this in private. Now Father Groeschel shares this after the death of Father Isidore. This Father Isidore says, well, it's just a little something. It comes to me every day, particularly when things aren't quite up to the mark, you know, when things aren't going the way that we would like. It's like an imagination experience. During the day, I stop to think about it. It seems to me that I've spent my whole life sitting in the place of St. John at the Last Supper. What did St. John, what was he doing at the Last Supper? Right next to Christ. It says in Scripture that he leaned his head against the breast of Christ. So St. John heard the beating, pulsating, sacred, Eucharistic heart of Jesus at the Last Supper when our Lord instituted the Mass. Father Isidore says, it seems I've spent my whole life in John's spot. Now Father Groeschel, the spiritual master, says, I've never, even in the case of the great mystics like St. Teresa of Avila, have read a more profound or succinct description of Christian contemplation. Here was a man hardly noticed by anyone who spent much of his life so spiritually aware that he understood, felt, and regularly experienced something that great saints rarely feel, the great love of Jesus for the beloved disciple at the Last Supper. If I hadn't realized it before, I now certainly knew I was in the presence of someone very special. Now, Father Isidore Kennedy has something that all of us here deeply desire, whether we know it or not. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with Christ. And where did that come from? He spent that time in our Lord's presence. You're saying, Father, there's no way. I would love to do that. Yeah, I would love to do 4 hours. Just straight, right in our Lord's presence. I can't do that. Well, you don't necessarily have to be 4 hours. This is what St. Faustina says in her diary. Paragraph 147. I recall that I have received most light during adoration. which I made lying prostrate before the Blessed Sacrament for a half hour every day throughout Lent. And during that time, I came to know myself and God more profoundly. Spending time with the Lord, it transforms the way that we look at the world. Pope John Paul II, as you all know, will be beatified, praise God, on May 1st, the Feast of Divine Mercy. The Pope who gave us the Feast of Divine Mercy when he canonized Saint Faustina. Well, listen to this. He was so plugged into the Lord and the Eucharist, he couldn't live a day separated from spending time. For the beatification process, as one priest writing said, one of these days, our Holy Father, he's 79 years of age at this time, I said he had a very busy day. He had to bless the sanctuary in Poland, and he offered Mass in another place, and he had a meeting with the university students. After that, another liturgy of the Sacred Heart, and then there was a beatification, and then he had to go to another place. More than a busy day. Thus, after dinner, the papal suite went to bed immediately. But the Pope, John Paul II, just locked himself in chapel with our Eucharistic Lord for a long, very long moment of prayer. But John Paul II was a light in the world. I know anytime I see pictures of him, I'm inspired. Now here's the thing. God wants all of us to have the same intimacy with him as Father Isidore Kennedy has now in heaven, St. Faustina, and John Paul II. What a tremendous gift, grace, a blessing it is if you have a parish with a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. You could go any time, day or night, to be at the feet of the Master, to be with him. Well, the question, why do we need a Eucharistic Chapel? That's the wrong question. The question should be, when are we going to get that built? When? There's a longing of the heart. All of us have busy days. Sometimes that day is running here and there, and then you try to get the prayers in late at night. But I'll tell you from experience, if you could kneel in the Lord's presence or sit in the Lord's Eucharistic presence, it changes everything. Do you know, every time you come to the Eucharist, he wants you to walk away refreshed. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you his healing. It's there. But it takes faith, right? It takes faith to put us there. When we receive communion, let's ask the Lord for this grace. Lord, help me to have a stronger faith. Like Father Isidore, John Paul II, St. Faustina, help me to have a stronger faith to put myself at your feet. I believe, but help my unbelief. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.